Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks for being with us again this weekend at Life Center. For those of you who are maybe new to Life Center, we are one church that meets in multiple locations across Pierce County, including some of you who are watching online. We are meeting with you today in your place. Today, we continue our series entitled Pause. We're journeying through the book of Psalms this summer. We're looking at different places where Scripture invites us to take a pause and consider to take a next step in our journey with Jesus. Now, before we go any further, if you have not yet downloaded that app, make sure you do so. If you have a smart device, whether it's a phone or a tablet, go to your app store, just search Life Center or Life Center Tacoma. You can pull it up right there on the home screen. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about some next steps that we're all going to engage in as well. You can just simply shoot a text, Life Center app, to 77977, and it will send you a link back on how to download that. I love watching so many people. I get a report every single weekend from Thursday night, Saturday night, our gatherings on Sunday morning. I get to see a report on Monday about all the different steps people are taking. And what's been so fun over these last couple of weeks, there's been so many individuals who are getting connected. They want to start serving. They want to get connected to a life group. People taking some practical steps that I'll talk about a little bit later on. But thanks for being a part. Today, we are going to look to Psalm 100. We'll get there in a moment. I've entitled today's message, When Thankfulness Feels Like a Stretch. Anybody ever been there? When thankfulness, it feels like a stretch. Thankfulness is one of those things that we all know we probably should be thankful. But there's moments, there's situations, there's seasons where the idea of actually walking that out and living that out, embodying it, feels a little bit like a stretch, like a stretch. You know, we all understand the dynamic of what it feels like in life to run on fumes, to run on fumes. You ever had that experience? Maybe for you, it's been a moment where you had more responsibility than time. You ever been there? You got so much to do. You have more responsibility than time. And so where do you find yourself? Well, very quickly, you find yourself in this space where you feel like you're running on fumes. Maybe you have more miles in front of you on the journey than gas in the tank. You ever been there? Learn this the hard way. If you're ever coming out of Spokane and you pass Ritzville, just go ahead and make the decision to fill up with gas there on I-90. Learn that the hard way multiple times. I'm just one of those people. I happen to live by faith, not by sight, right? How many of us, we fall into that category? Whenever that gas number comes up and it says 20 miles till empty, I'm like, in Jesus' name, I can get 37 miles, right? Don't try to do that coming out of Ritzville. You have this space where maybe there's more miles than gas in the tank. What about this? Maybe there's more bills than finances. And you're running on fumes. You're trying to figure out how do I make the ends meet? Maybe there's more demands than deposits in your relationship. So all of the things that could add some fuel to the tank, there's more withdrawals than there are deposits in those relationships. Maybe for you, though, there's more joy for what once was than hope for what will be. There's more joy as you look in the rearview mirror in those moments where, man, it seems like life was just better back then, as you look ahead, there's not necessarily a lot of hope, and you find yourself running on fumes. Those are stretching moments. Those are moments where, let's be honest, it's hard to be anything near thankful. It's hard to be anything near thankful. Amber and I, this last April, we celebrated 17 years of marriage. And one of the things that we learned, thank you for that applause over there. One of the things that we learned in our pre-marriage counseling, we were encouraged, we were kind of coached to use a specific question from time to time. And it was kind of a diagnostic question. It was a question where you could check in on the other individual and see how they were feeling. And the question was this. We would look at each other and say, how is your love tank doing? In other words, kind of like the gauge on your vehicle that shows you where you're at and shows you how close to empty you are. We would look at each other and ask, how is your love tank doing? In other words, how are you doing in the area of feeling loved? See, I could make the assumption as a husband, man, I'm doing great, but unless I ask the question, unless I check the gauge, how do I actually know? You see, we asked that question because we wanted to figure out how the other person was actually feeling, what they needed, where the other individual could help. You see, a lot of relationships come to this place where they end up running on fumes. Why? Because they never check where things are at. Some of us today, my concern as we talk, not necessarily about a love tank, I want to talk about a different tank. I want to talk about our thankful tank. Our thankful tank. And here's my concern for us. I wonder how many of us, we are either running on fumes in the area of being thankful, or we are dangerously close to being empty. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, we know that scripture calls us to be thankful, but maybe we find ourselves in a place right now as we sit on our couch at home, and we feel like the call to be thankful feels a little bit like a stretch. Tyler, why should I be thankful about this? Tyler, as I look at the news, there's nothing to be thankful for. Man, as I look at the circumstances of life right now, it seems like that call feels a little bit like a stretch. Running on fumes. You see, how do we make thankfulness a consistent attribute in our daily lives? If we know it's so important, I want us to wrestle with that. If we know it's so important, if we know that scripture calls us to this, not just in November, hello. We know that scripture doesn't just say, hey, when Thanksgiving rolls around and it's turkey time once again, or tofu turkey, come on, Anson. If it's that place, that's not the only time to be thankful. Thankfulness is something that's an indicator in our lives, and when it's lacking, I think it requires a pause. Can we look together to Psalm 100? Psalm 100 is one of my favorite psalms. It's five verses long. For those of you who are newer to scripture, the book of Psalms is in the Old Testament. It's about halfway through your Bible. And this psalm kind of caps off a collection of psalms that really talk about and speak to this dynamic that God is king. That God is king. And we find ourselves here in Psalm 100. Here we go. Verse 1, it says this, make a joyful noise. Can you say noise?
Noise.
Come on. This is a great verse for those of you who know you cannot sing on key. This is why I love this psalm. This is why I love, honestly, worshiping with a mask on, because nobody can hear me except me and Jesus. It's all good. What are you doing during worship, Tyler? I'm over here making a joyful noise. It says this, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Now, here's what's interesting about that statement. Israel, the Israelite people, they were God's covenant people. In fact, these psalms were written to God's covenant people. But even in this psalm, God is calling his people to remember that they were called to be a light, not to other insiders, but a light to the entire world, the light to the Gentiles. And it's interesting that part of this dynamic, if they would live this thanks out, that it actually begins to be a light even in the midst of dark areas. You can't tell me that your thankfulness doesn't matter. In fact, as we live thankful as followers of Jesus, I think it begins to be an incredible witness as we engage in the mission of Jesus. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. How about this? Serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, I love that. Love that. How many of you have ever met somebody and clearly they did not read the right translation of this one? You ever met somebody and instead of serve the Lord with gladness, it appears like they read it serve the Lord with madness or serve the Lord with sadness. But that's not what the psalm invites us to do. It says serve the Lord with gladness. Here's what's so important about this. So often we see the burden of obedience instead of the blessing of obedience. And so if we're not careful, we can walk around and go, oh, I'm just bearing my cross for Jesus. Come on, just you can experience this great salvation too. You can bear your cross as well. Now, does Jesus call us to take up our cross and follow him? Absolutely. But is there a liberty in that space? Yes. Why? Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Verse 3, no. Can you say no? So often in our American mindset, we just see this as the idea of information. But in the original Hebrew language, this isn't just merely information. This is about coming to this place through personal experience and gaining knowledge. It says this, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Goes on. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Now, already in these first four verses, there's seven specific calls. Did you notice them? There's seven mandates that the psalmist is calling the people of God to engage in. Look at them really quick. Number one, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Number two, serve the Lord with gladness. Number three, come into his presence with singing. Number four, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Number five, into his courts with praise. Number six, give thanks to him. Number seven, bless his name. Now, here's what we have to be aware of. It's one thing to look at mandates. It's another thing to find the why behind the mandate. And that's why verse 5 is so critical in this psalm. Because we could hear, and I could talk today till I'm blue in the face about this is what Scripture calls us to do. This is how Scripture calls us to live. But unless we connect those calls to the why behind the call, all we have, friends, is religion. All we have is duty. All we have is responsibility instead of rejoicing in this relationship that God welcomes us into. Here's the why behind all of those seven calls. For the Lord is good. Come on, do we believe that? Do we believe that Jesus is actually good? Do we worship him like he's good? Do we celebrate him like he's good? Do we talk about him like he's good? Or do we sometimes minimize? Has his goodness been overshadowed by the pain? Has his goodness been overshadowed by the disappointment? Has his goodness been overshadowed maybe by something you feel like it should have gone a certain way, but it's gone a different way? See, the psalmist calls us back to this place. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Doesn't say that his steadfast love endures because you've been consistent watching online. Doesn't say his steadfast love endures because you actually got your tickets to be in person on Tuesday. Doesn't say that. Says that his steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations. See, what's the motivation? Where do we find fuel for our thankfulness? It's in this simple dynamic that God is good. He doesn't just do good things. He, in his essence, he is good. And listen, here's what I want us to recognize and understand today. When thankfulness, it feels like a stretch. And trust me, if you haven't been there, you probably will end up there at some point. When thankfulness feels like a stretch, pause and remember this simple truth. We are secure in God's goodness. We are secure in his goodness. Friends, that's good news. Do you know that God is not flipping a coin going, should I be good to them or should I be bad to them today? You ever met a friend and wonder if that's what they do with you just by how they treat you? The great news of this incredible grace that Jesus has made available for us is that there is a security, there is an assurance. I am secure in the goodness of God. Therefore, no matter what circumstance comes my way, no matter what challenge comes my way, no matter what obstacle comes my way, there is a reason to give thanks. I am secure in the goodness of God. But if that's true, why does living in a consistent state of authentic thankfulness? Now, I want to pause here for a second. Authentic thankfulness. You ever met airbrushed thankfulness? Photoshopped thankfulness? Touched up facade thankfulness? That's not what Scripture's calling us to live out. I'm not asking you to walk through life and on the inside there's no thanks, but on the outside you're going, bless God, glory, brother, hallelujah. Listen, that will transform nothing. So how is it that we get to this place where we're living in a state of authentic thankfulness, even when it feels like a stretch? And let me remind you, it is hard. It can be a challenge. See, it's important to recognize that place of walking that out, day in, day out, it's not going to be rooted in circumstances. The key to you living authentically thankful day in and day out is not conditioned by your circumstances. Tyler, why do you say that? Well, the reality is you can have perfect circumstances and still not be thankful. You want an example? Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, they are in unhindered, unbroken relationship with God. They are walking day in, day out in the garden with God, face to face. And God looks at them and says, all of this is yours. But for your good, I don't want you to touch this. And what happens? Even though the conditions are perfect, the circumstances are perfect, where does their attention go? It moves from thankfulness for all of this to, why can't I have that? If God was good, he wouldn't withhold that from me. If God was good, I wouldn't be feeling this right now. And notice how quickly the perfect circumstance still was not cultivating thankfulness. It's interesting, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it reminds us this simple truth. Give thanks in what? In all circumstances. You know, that's a really hard verse to live out. Wouldn't it be a lot easier if it says, give thanks in the circumstances that you feel like are worthy of being thankful for? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, let me make sure we understand what this verse says, but also what it doesn't say. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. It does not say, give thanks for all circumstances. Notice the difference. It's not saying, hey, when you get that flat tire, just start jumping and praising God on the side of the road going, woo, thanks for the flat tire, God. That's not what it's saying. But it's saying in the midst of that circumstance, you can still have a thankfulness that is not shaken. Give thanks in, not for. Give thanks in all circumstances. How do we get to that place where we can actually do that? Because we're secure in the goodness of Jesus. I'm secure. High points, low points. I am secure in the goodness of Jesus, not my own goodness. That is what provides my security. See, where we focus in this journey of being thankful, it matters. See, last week, nearly 83% of us, as we checked those boxes in our next step, over 83% of us, we made this decision saying, okay, this week, I'm going to shift my focus from the upheaval to my upholder. 83%. My question is, how do we do? How do we do in shifting that focus? How do we do in captivating that moment and turning it back to the one who can hold us through it? Friends, that's what helps us navigate the moments where it feels like thankfulness is a stretch. Today, with this in mind, as we look at Psalm 100, there's two principles that I want to give us to put into action when thankfulness feels like a stretch. Two principles to put into action. Number one is this: pause and practice awareness. Pause and practice awareness. Again, in the background, think about the words of Psalm 100. It's reminding us of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. It's impossible, though, for us to be thankful for something that we are unaware of its existence or its importance. It's impossible for me to be thankful for something that I am not aware it even exists. That's why verse 3 reminds us to know that the Lord is God. Know. See, not just more information, but an understanding, awareness that's rooted in experience. And yet, what happens in my world? Well, so often I am moving so fast that I can't slow down long enough to simply be aware. Wonder how many marriages, they're in crisis because they're both moving such a frantic pace through life that they never pause enough to simply become aware of what the other person is feeling. Wonder how many times our motion and our movement without a proper pause, without simply coming to this place of saying, okay, hold on, I'm going to slow down long enough just to be aware. Aware of the goodness of God. You see, awareness often it requires a pause. And God's goodness, when we talk about being aware of it, it's got to become personal. Tyler, what do you mean when you talk about the goodness of God? Well, I mean things like this. Aren't you thankful for His mercy? Are you thankful for His forgiveness, for His grace, for His compassion, for His generosity, for His favor, for His kindness, His faithfulness, His truth, His love, His patience, His protection, His ability to provide? There's a lot of goodness that God gives. But if we don't ever pause to consider how that goodness has been revealed, if we live unaware, friends, all of that goodness goes unnoticed. And when it's unnoticed, there's no fuel to be thankful for it. You see, thankfulness, it starts internal before it ever becomes authentically external. Let me say that again. Thankfulness has to show up inside before it ever becomes authentically expressed outside. We can put on the show, we can put on the facade, but if we want it to be authentic, there's got to be something that takes root inside of us, and that starts with awareness. You see, thankfulness, it's an indicator. It's an indicator. In other words, there's something on the inside, some contentment, some joy, some gratitude that overflow and expresses itself. Pause and practice awareness. Second, pause and practice application. It's one thing to become aware of something, but unless you apply it, it does you no good. You see, God's goodness, it becomes personal when we apply it. If it doesn't become applied to our lives, all it is theological data. It's information that we tuck away and we store somewhere in a library, somewhere in the recesses of our mind, but that's not what the scripture calls us to do. The action words, these seven commands that we see in these five verses of Psalm 100, it invites us to not just recognize and become aware, but actually apply his goodness to the point that we are willing to make a joyful noise. That I wake up and I do serve the Lord with gladness. That I do come into his gates with thanksgiving. That I do lift up my voice in praise. This is the difference that application makes. Verse 5, the Lord is good. Don't stop with awareness. Apply his goodness. Apply his goodness. Let me make a statement that's a little bit stretching and a little bit uncomfortable. As a follower of Jesus, thankfulness is not optional. Even when I say that, I feel the tension in what I'm communicating. But for those of us who are familiar with Scripture, we know that time and time again, Scripture calls us to give thanks, to walk in thanks, to demonstrate and overflow with thanks. But hearing that statement, that it's not optional for me, it reminds me of different times that I've looked at my children. I've said, hey, you need to go over there and say thank you. And they don't feel like saying it. But I'm looking at them and what am I saying? Hey, it's not optional. You need to go express thanks. And if they're not careful, what do? Well, walk over and thank you. Wow, that just moved heaven and earth. That was awesome. It's like demanding your kid apologize for something that they're not sorry for. And yet here's the tension, friends. Scripture calls us to it, but sometimes we don't feel like it. It feels like a stress. I don't want to be thankful. I don't want to express thanks. But it's not optional. And where we have to be careful, we got to watch our heart. That's why we have to look at the internal meter, because if we're not careful, we end up in situations like this where we're like, thanks, God. Tyler said I got to be thankful, so thanks for COVID-19. That the psalm said I should be thankful, so thanks. Trust me, God is not in heaven going, wow, I'm so glad you finally got it. No. See, unless we become aware and then unless we apply it, we can do something out of duty instead of out of delight. We can just go through the rhythm, go through the motion. You see, at the end of the day, you cannot apply what you are unaware of. You can't do it. You can't do it. So let's talk about the tank for one moment. See, it's one thing, let's say that this jar, it represents the grace of Jesus. Anybody thankful for the grace of Jesus? Okay? So it's one thing, okay, I'm aware that God has favor for my life that is unearned and undeserved. That's called grace. And we look at that grace and we go, okay, Jesus, I'm so aware, man, that's awesome. But unless you do what? Unless you apply that grace to your life, it is not going to change the gratitude that you live with. When it comes to the idea, maybe you become aware that God is your provider. That even though you have a job, you have a place of work, at the end of the day, God is your provider, not that workplace. Can I tell you that? That's attention. Well, Tyler, I work for this. That's right. You work for that. But ultimately, God is your provider. Want me to prove it? You breathe while you're doing that job. You did nothing to make that air. God is your provider. And we can become aware of it, but unless we do what? Unless we apply it to our lives, the thankfulness in our lives does not grow. And yet, here's the challenge. We can become aware and apply it. But if we want to live authentically thankful, we have to be aware that there's not only deposits, but there's also these things called withdrawals. Things that want to make a withdrawal from the tank. And so we look at our lives, and even though we were thankful for the grace of Jesus 7 minutes ago while we were singing that song, we look over and we find ourselves going, what? They got that new iPhone? Oh, I can't believe that they have that. Oh, of course they live in that neighborhood. Wouldn't that be nice? Man, I wish my kids behaved like their kids. Well, yeah, if my spouse actually talked nice to me like their spouse did. See, all of a sudden, even though we've become aware and we've applied some of the goodness and the grace of God to our lives, and there's opportunity for that tank to begin to fill up, if we're not careful, there will be more withdrawals than there are deposits. Yet the key to living thankful day in and day out is making sure that there's more coming in than there is going out. Why? Because God has called us to be aware of his goodness, and we apply that goodness to our lives, and we begin to fill that tank. Why? What's the point? Well, he doesn't want us to just have enough to get to Tuesday, friends. He wants us to live in the space where thankfulness naturally overflows, pours out. Thankfulness. See, in those moments where thankfulness feels like a stretch, pause and remember, you are secure. You're secure in the goodness of God. To remind you of that security, pause and practice awareness. Pause and practice application in your life. If we want to live thankful, we need more deposits than withdrawals, but that often necessitates a pause. So how are you doing in the thankful tank? How are you doing today? You feel like you're running on fumes? You feel like you're dangerously close to empty? You look around and all you see what should have been and could have been instead of what is? See, here's why this matters and why this is so important. A lack of thankfulness in our lives, you want to know what it begins to do? It begins to erode some things. It erodes love. If you're unthankful for that individual, for that person, it's hard for you to love them. It erodes joy. It erodes peace. It erodes patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, some of us were aware of the scripture that I'm referring to. It's in Galatians 5. It talks about the qualities, the characteristics that the Holy Spirit is trying to cultivate within our lives. And when we live with a deficit of thankfulness, what does it do? It hinders the very things that God wants to cultivate and grow up in us. Yeah, we have the option to come back, to remind ourselves there's overflow available. Here's why. Because of Jesus, I'm secure in the goodness of God. Because of Jesus, because of who he is, what he's done for me. Today, can I invite you to grab your phone? And I want you to open up to that first page where it says next steps right there on the app. At the top, it says next steps card. Click that. And maybe today your next step, maybe this is your first time with us, maybe you're watching online for the very first time. Welcome. I'm Tyler. Glad that you're here. Maybe your first next step is simply filling out that card and letting us know that you're with us. We want to get connected to you. I mentioned a number of weeks ago as we've moved and kind of navigated this season of COVID where the building was shut down for 16 weeks, I found myself saying, God, would you help us as we navigate COVID and the other side of COVID, not just to do more consumption, but to help create spaces for greater connection. That's what we want. We want to connect with you. Maybe your next step today is putting your trust in Jesus. Maybe you've never done that. I want to remind you, when you say yes to Jesus, you are secure in God's goodness. Your debt is paid, not because of your goodness, but because of his goodness. That second next step is this. I'm going to take a 7-day thankful challenge. Tyler, what do you mean by that? Here's what I've realized. As you look through your social media accounts, your feeds, my guess is you're not necessarily overwhelmed by all of the gratitude that's taking place. And what I would love for us as followers of Jesus to do is not to deny or minimize realities that are painful, circumstances that are challenging, but I'm saying let's put into place what Scripture calls us to do, to be thankful in all things. And what if for the next 7 days we intentionally post one thing that we're thankful about, one thing each day for 7 days? 7-day thankful challenge. You may say to yourself, well, Tyler, I don't have social media, okay? Grab a journal and a pen, and every night before you go to bed, write something down that you're thankful about. You may say to yourself, well, Tyler, I don't have social media, I don't have a journal, I don't have a pen, okay? Talk to the cat or the dog and look at them before you go to bed. Say, I just have to get this off my chest. I have to say one thing that I'm thankful about every day for 7 days. Here's the third thing. Third next step. I will serve someone else as an overflow of how God has served me. I think one of the keys to experiencing breakthrough, if you're really struggling with thankfulness right now, one of the greatest ways to cultivate thankfulness is you stepping out of your situation and simply serving somebody else who can do nothing for you. So if you want to cultivate thankfulness, why don't you start by serving someone else? Saying yes to Jesus, take the 7-day thankful challenge, serve someone else. What's your next step? I'd love for you to take a moment, jot that down, check that box right there at home. If you're in person, take that step. I want to pray for you right now as we take those steps. Jesus, thank you that you are good. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. Lord, I thank you that today we are secure in your goodness. And I pray that you would help us when that idea, that call of living thankful, when it feels like a stretch, God, would you help us to slow down long enough to pause and practice awareness? Would you help us to pause and practice application, not just being aware of those attributes of your goodness, but actually applying that goodness to our lives, making it personal, and let it begin to fill that tank up, not just that there's enough to get us to Thursday, but Lord, that there would be an overflow of thankfulness in our lives. And today, maybe you're in this place where you want to put your trust in Jesus. If that's you, would you repeat this prayer with me? Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. I put my trust in you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation. And help me to follow you every day of my life. In your name I pray. Amen.